Listen to what happens. As soon as they crossed over the Jordan, they come into the promised land. They ate from the produce of the land. When did they plant? They walked in to a harvest.
We are sowing God's word, growing in Christ, and bringing in the harvest. And now join us for today's message from Harvest Church.
We were talking about that a little bit, about how, and this is not a thought that I heard, this is not something else, something I heard someone else say. These are thoughts that I had had years ago. The thought that I had was, and these were thoughts for me, right, as an individual, I was thinking, you know, Lord, when I would read about the wisdom of Solomon, right? I mean, the wisdom that excels, and no one ever had the wisdom that Solomon had, right, up to his day. And when I see that, and I had read that, then, you know, you would think that someone with that much wisdom of God on the inside of them, right, the revelation of God to the extent that he had it, you would think that at the end of his life, you know, that not only did he live his life, right, with in that wisdom and following after the things that the Lord had been teaching him, but that his life would end that way. So when I saw that in his life, actually, it's a sad thing, because at the end of his life, or towards the end of his life, in his latter years, he became more and more involved with women that the Bible says moved his heart away, right? And you know, I remember years ago thinking and looking at that, and to be honest to you, in my heart, you know, I knew, I had known to a certain extent what the Lord said about me, but there was always this underlying little thing that I never forgot, always thinking, Lord, but, you know, how about Solomon? You know, I mean, that's a real thing. I mean, here's a man, look at the wisdom, Lord, that he had. And I would think in my mind, Lord, I mean, the wisdom I had have is nothing compared to the wisdom of this man, right? To the discernment and the judgment of this man. I mean, if he ended up that way, I mean, to me, and I don't know that I ever, actually, I think probably this is the first time ever that I have ever even said it out loud. But years ago, I would think, I said, Lord, like, how about me, though, right? I mean, if this is him, how about me, right? And obviously, there are marked, huge differences. I mean, and the difference between us and Solomon is the greatest reason why that's not us, right? But a thought along with that, though, and we'll talk about that in a second, between the differences between Solomon and us. But the interesting thing is, and I'll tell you just one thing before I go into this, that the huge difference between Solomon and us is our glories, right? The glory of Solomon is one, and the glory of us is another. That's really the key thing. That's what makes everything different, right? Solomon was of one glory, and we are of another, and I'll show you that. But the thing that is interesting about that, and or about that sort of judgment, is that, see, what happens is we don't just do that. People don't just do that with Solomon, but they do that with different things, right? So sometimes we look at the pattern in people's lives, right? And we think that you sort of learn a pattern and how things happen to them. So this person, you know, they're in ministry now. So they went from being a student, a high school student, to they went to Bible school, and they went to this particular Bible school. And then from there, then the Lord, you know, gave them a time, because, you know, there's always a time of preparation before there's a time of separation. And then you look at all of these steps, and then when you're really ready to be separated unto the work, then so we follow patterns. And it may be patterns in the world when it comes to other things, or pattern when you're thinking about things ministry related, or patterns of how will God do something in your life. But the awesome thing about, really, I believe wholeheartedly, what God wants to do is squash that, to kill that thought, right, in our heart, to cast that thought down in our mind that says that our life is according to anything that we can see, right? Because our lives don't have to follow any pattern in any way, shape, or form, right? I mean, think about this. You don't see, you really don't see, as much as people want to make patterns in the Bible, you don't really see God establishing patterns in men's lives that men's lives ought to go this way, right? When the Lord was talking to Peter, and he told Peter, you know, like what would happen in his old age, right? I mean, what Peter does is he says, well, how about John? How about him? And what he said to Peter is he said, what is it to you if I want John, right, to remain alive until I come back, right? What is that to you? Because the thing is that we believe that there's this, and I think it comes in a way from an equality mentality, right? That people in the world have this mentality that there is equality. So because there's equality, the pattern of my life is the pattern of your life. And whatever you can do, I can do. But what happens is with that mentality of whatever you can do, I can do, what men can do, everything that women can do, or women can do everything that men can do, which is actually not true, right? Because we're not even built the same, right? We can't do the same stuff. We're not the same, right? We're vastly different. But beside that point is that this whole equality thing, what it does is it not only gets you to look at people's lives that you can say, I can pattern my life after this because so-and-so did it. So we limit ourselves to what we can do based on what we see done in the lives of other people. And if we've never heard it done, and we've never heard of it being done or have never seen it done, we don't believe it can be done, right? Some people wouldn't even think. I mean, if God tells you that and he shows you without a shadow of a doubt, the Lord shows you and reveals to you that you're going to do X, Y, and Z, and you've never even heard of it before. No one's ever even done it before, right? People would be reluctant. People would, is that even God? Like, it's never been done before. Where is that in the, now watch that, right? Where is that in the Bible? Where has God ever done that in the life of somebody else? Listen, if God wants to take you and translate you to Mars, and from Mars bring you back here 5 times, and he wants you to start a Mars ministry, you know what we'll do? Well, how can that be right? Well, when has God ever used any man or person of God and had them start a ministry in Mars? You know, I know that's those things are out there, but what I'm saying is we can't think that God is always going to tell us something that jives with something that we've seen before, or that jives with something that we've seen in the lives of other people, right? So our lives don't follow a pattern. Our lives don't follow a pattern. Our lives, I mean, and we've said it clearly and we've sang it tonight, right? That it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. And God in me doesn't follow a pattern. God does what God does in me, and he doesn't have to follow a pattern or ask anybody's permission or find out if it's ever been done before. So the whole equality thing, you know, it's a mentality. It's ingrained in us in these United States, right? But the truth is that if you look at other people for equality, you will look at other people for also what you cannot do. Because if there is equality, that means that everything you can do, I can do. But that also means then, if I can do everything you can do and you can do everything I can do, that means that what you can't do, I can't do either. Right? Because then we're caught in a vicious circle, right? Because if I can do everything you can do and you can do everything I can do, if I can't do something, surely you can't do it either. Because if you could, then I could too. You follow that, right? If there's always this equality thing, then none of us can do anything that the other cannot do. And let me just put it a little differently than that word could or do, right? In other words, that we would judge what God is saying to be true and right, or even what we are willing to hear him say to us based on what we've seen in the lives of other people. And the truth of the matter is, you know what? When the Lord shows you something and he has been showing you things that he's doing in your life, throw away the pattern. You don't have to go ask somebody his advice, or even sometimes we don't ask for advice, but we look to see, well, how did it happen in her life? How did it happen in their life? And we want to know, like how was it for you? And how did that go for you? So what we're asking is, we're asking for a pattern because we want to make sure that our lives are going to follow that same pattern. And if our lives are not following that pattern, then that means, you know, this is really risky, right? It's really risky to follow after a pattern that I've not seen before. Okay? But, you know, it's an interesting thing, you know, how, I mean, God has order to everything that he does, right? He had the Apostle Paul go away for 11 years, and the Lord taught him. Now, you can say, well, that's not the way apostles, you know, the apostles came from those that walked with Jesus, and since Judah hung himself, then their thinking was the next appropriate apostle must be, they said it themselves, must be one who walked with him. Right? Why? Because that's where they came from. So they figure the pattern of God to raise up an apostle has to be one that walked with Jesus. Yet God had other plans, right? Because the apostle that came in, right, that is best known above all of them did not walk with Jesus, right? So the thing that really we want to see there is that the patterns, all that they are is just historical fact, right? Historical fact, that's all that it is. Just historical fact. I mean, it's like, you know, the Catholic Bible has about 400 years of historical facts. But historical facts, why are they not in our Bible, right? Because God doesn't see a need for historical facts, right? The Bible is not about history, right? The Bible is about a revelation of Jesus. So the Maccabees don't hold the revelation of who Jesus Christ is, right? So because they don't hold that in their historical, there's no need for them. I mean, if you want to read a historical book, read a historical book, but we don't need to follow patterns, you know? People even call our nation and say that, you know what, there are patterns in the world. And if something has happened before, it'll happen again. That's not true. That's not true. Watch. We have this thing that says that there's nothing new under the sun. That there's nothing new under the sun, right? That Solomon wrote that there's nothing new under the sun. And if it's something happened again, it's just bound to repeat itself again. There's nothing new, but that's not true. Because God can do what God desires to do, even if it's never happened before, right? Right? There's if God desires to stop the sun, and even though the day follows a 24-hour pattern, and sunsets, you know, a minute later or whatever each day, or a minute earlier each day, however it is, you know? But if the Lord says, you know what, I'm going to stop the sun, and it's going to be daylight through midnight, right? There's no problem with that. God doesn't have an issue with that. He's not throwing off some kind of cosmic order by doing something that doesn't follow the pattern that people are used to. But you know, the awesome thing about seeing that in our lives is that if we can see that in our lives and not look at men like Solomon, not look at any men or any women, right? But just allow the Spirit of God to do the living and be willing to hear, watch, be willing to hear anything. Be willing to hear anything and allow the Spirit of God to explain that anything to you. Let him do that, right? Don't do this. You haven't memorized all of the volumes in the Bible, but let's say you had memorized all 16 books of the Bible, 66, sorry, all 66 books of the Bible. That still does not make us an authority, right, to check God. Because God will say things to you that at first glimpse, right, do not jive with the Word of God, right? And for that matter, don't jive with the Word of God. Don't jive with natural thinking. Don't jive with anything that we have ever heard or smelled before, right? But God will speak something to you, so hold on to it. Don't throw something out. In other words, our judgment comes from here's what you're deciding. You're deciding, is that the Spirit of God or isn't it? You're not deciding, is it true or not? You're deciding, is it the Spirit of God or isn't it? And if it's the Spirit of God, I will ponder and I will hear, because the Lord, listen, if we're trying to judge if something is truth, right, there are things that you won't know is truth that you will hear. So if we're going to make up our mind like many people do, well, that's not true. Why? Because I don't remember ever reading that. Watch what a bad way of living that is. I don't remember ever reading that. Well, the first question would be, are you an author? Have you memorized 66 books of the Bible? And do you know everything that God meant by everything that he wrote? And the answer to that would mean that it's on the inside of him, but him in his mind, in his understanding, in that person's understanding, they cannot say that, right? They can't say that they know that, but they say, well, I don't know about that. I've never heard that before. So people accept or reject something because they have heard it before or haven't heard it before. But watch this. So it's not about that. Discernment is you discern of what spirit it is. You discern the spirit. You don't discern, well, is that true or is that a lie? Is it the Spirit of God? And if it's the Spirit of God, whether it made sense to you or not, whether it sounded right or wrong, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. God has said things to me that I'm honestly, right off at the top of it, were insulting things. That's how I interpreted them initially. Things that made me angry, things that made me upset. And you know what base I was on? None of them. I was totally off base. Totally off base. And I took offense to something in my heart. But you know, thankfully, thank God, right, that we have hearts that even though we may take offense to something initially that God says to you, you say, you know what? But to the question that immediately comes up, it's not did I take offense to it or not. It's not am I upset about it or not. Did the Spirit of God say that? If he said that to me, then you know what you do? You ponder it and you hold it, right? And you let him be the one to teach you, right? We hear something, he teaches us, right? He teaches us. And you know what? It could be happening at the exact same time. You're hearing and he's teaching you. He's speaking to you about what you're hearing. Awesome. But there are times where you're hearing and you're hearing what's being taught and you're not understanding it, right? But that's okay. That's okay. So the problem is not, am I understanding everything right on point at the exact time that it's coming at me, right? You're sitting in your home, right, and you're just acknowledging the Lord and the Lord begins to speak something to you. Does that mean that at the minute that God speaks something to you, you completely understand it? That's not true, right? That's not true. There are things that can happen like that where you totally understand that. It's, as God is speaking to you, you have the knowledge right there. He's showing you what it is. And there are times, you know what, that you understand something and you continually learn more about the very thing that God spoke to you. God could speak something to you today, and you think, you know what, I got it. I know exactly what God meant by that. But as time goes on, you're like, wow, I guess I didn't really know entirely what that was. I knew a piece of that, but I didn't know everything, right? And there are times where God says something to you, and you're like, you know what, I haven't the foggiest idea, Lord. But you know what, I'm not going to drive myself crazy. It's not my job now to become, you know, to launch out an investigation to find out what you meant by this. You know what, Lord, you said that to me, you'll teach it to me, right? Mine is to hear, right? Not to could badger you about you teaching me about something that you said to me. Say it then, Lord, right? Say it, Lord. And all I want to know is it your spirit or is it not? And I know and I have peace in my heart. You know, this is your spirit, Lord. This is you saying this to me. Good, you accept it. But it's awesome. Listen, it's awesome. That way, you know what? That way, things can be, listen to this now. Things can be, I'll just bring you to a real popular verse, right, so we can see it in Philippians. I'll bring you to two. Ephesians and in Philippians. Let me show you this. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 16. Ephesians 3:16. Let's look at that real quick. That he would grant you according to. We can look at the text and know that he's talking about, you know, maybe financial things, right? You can look at the context of it. But the main part of this is not what he's doing according to, is that everything is according to, right? Everything in our lives is according to just one. Our life is not following a pattern, right? Our life is according to, right? The things that God has established for us to walk in are in Christ, right? In Christ. So it's not about, you know, the Lord having to show you all of the dots and then you connect them, right? So you can know exactly where you're going. That's not walking by faith or walking by the Spirit of God. It's just knowing, right, that you're hearing him, knowing that you're hearing him. And that's it. It's an understanding that all we need do is not for God to give us a knowledge to connect all the dots, but just to hear him. And if there's something that God wants you to know, the Lord will speak it to you and you'll know it, right? He'll speak it to you and you know it. You don't have to have the connect the dots. You know what? Because many times if God connects all the dots for you and shows you, you're going to try to make sense of it. You're going to try to see if anybody's done it. If the Lord calls you to go to England, you're going to try to find out what the people are like, what kind of money they have. You're going to try to find out all of these things about England. You're going to try to find out what kind of people are there, what kind of people live there, what are the demographics of the area. You know, it's not about all of those things. It's not following a regimented pattern. It doesn't have to be. You don't have to find out, you know, about a person. Because here's what it is. The Lord can speak something to you, right? So you're going to England. But now all of a sudden, out of nowhere it seems like, you're watching a program about a husband and a wife who went to England, and they stayed there 3 years, and they're talking about how hard it is in England, how difficult it is to minister in England, how difficult it is for people to receive in England, how they're not willing to hear, and because of the government and all of these things. And you know what? You'll be making up your mind before you even got there. Making up, because believing that it follows the pattern of somebody else's ministry, believing that it follows a pattern of somebody else's life. Our life doesn't have to look like anybody else's life, right? Because it's just similar in this. Our lives are identical in this, that we get life from the same one. Our life is in Christ. All of our lives are in Christ. After that, nothing has to follow any kind of sort of pattern at all. So we don't have to look at one another ever. You don't have to look at any other Christian. You don't have to look at a TV evangelist or anybody that you've ever seen or heard. And they don't have to show you, because people spend a lot of time sharing their patterns, right? Sharing about how it happened to them. Sharing about how God did it in them. Why does that matter? Why does it matter? Why do I even care? Why do I care about how God did it in you? Why does that even matter? All I want to know is what you're listening to Jesus. And if you were listening to Jesus, then that's the right way. You did the right thing. I don't care what he did in you. I don't care how he did it. Why do I care whether Jesus healed with mud, whether he spit and made mud and put it on the person's eye, or whether he just touched them and healed them, whether he made them dunk in the Jordan? What does anything matter? What does the pattern of how Jesus or anybody else did anything matter to anybody for any purpose? It doesn't. The only thing that Jesus did, he said, I haven't come to do my own will. He didn't even come to follow a pattern for his own life. It was just, right, whatever the Father wants to do, you do it, Lord. It's you working in me. So here it says that it's according to, right? So that he would grant you, that the Father would grant you according to the riches of his glory. According to the riches of his glory, that from that glory, from the abundance and the riches of the glory that's in you, from the abundance and the glory of Christ in you, that he would grant you to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. That you would be strengthened. That you would be strengthened. So each one of us, for whatever is needful, the power to do it, this is important, right? The power to do whatever. People, it doesn't matter what it is. You know, I've only read one time that I can recollect right off the top of my mind, that there was an apostle that was translated from one place to another immediately. In other words, he didn't walk, he didn't run, he was just translated. So do we see a pattern of that in the Bible, where God translates people when he wants them to go somewhere? You saw it once there. So is that the extent of what God can do? I mean, is all that God can do if he wants to get you somewhere, is the highest thing that God can do, is just physically translate you there? No, I mean, what could God do? God could take and duplicate you, leave you here, and then there's another one of you in Asia. Well, no, that's not true, because there's no pattern of that in the Bible. You see, there are truths in the Word of God that are revelations of who Jesus Christ is. But are we really at the point where we're thinking that the Lord is limited of how he can do something if it's written and he did it before? What God can do, he can only do if he wrote it before. That's a totally separate thing, right? From God being able to do something, that's a totally separate thing from a revelation of Jesus Christ, right? There is no revelation of Jesus Christ that is not in Scripture, right? But there is no, God is not limited to the action of what he can do and how he does it based on Scripture, right? He can do whatever he wants to do. He can translate you from here to another country and take you in a tornado, right? You can go up in a tornado and then land on the other side of the world in a tornado, right? He can send you through a beam of light. He can do whatever. You know, I'm just saying these silly things, and not maybe not so silly in some ways, but just so that in our mind, in our heart, our lives are not following a pattern, but that we're willing to hear anything from the Spirit of God, whether we think it's going to be positive or negative. You know, the truth is that God will never speak something to you that's going to tempt you. God is never going to speak evil to you. So in anything that God is doing, God is always speaking something to you for your benefit. For your benefit, right? For your benefit. He, just like he said in Scripture, right, that he makes all things work out for your benefit, to those who are called by his name, right, to those that love him, right? So it says here that it's according to the riches of his glory. Now, that's one example, right? One example in Philippians chapter 4, right? Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 19. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 19. Again, the same kind of thing according to, right? But it says, but my God shall supply what? All your need according, again, to what? According to his riches in glory. So the things of our lives are according to the glory on the inside of us. According to what? The glory on the inside of us. Now there's a marked difference then when we talk about the glory that we have and we possess, right? Between that glory and the glory of Solomon, right? Matthew chapter 6, right? Let's look at that. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 28. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider, and here's a, this is an awesome thing. Whenever the Lord tells you to consider, you can be guaranteed of this one thing. The only one that he's asking you to consider is Christ. God never tells you, consider something outside of you, right? Consider something outside of you that's not considering Christ. He never asks you to consider your own body. He never asks you, I mean, that's the one thing that helped Abraham, right? He considered not his body. Right, so you don't have to consider your body, and we've heard that before, but you also don't have to consider your neighbor for the pattern of how something is going to happen. Because you know what, I don't want to consider my body, because if my body is dying, then I don't want to consider death. But the thing is, you don't want to consider anything outward, whether you think it's positive or negative. There's no need to consider anything. There's no need to consider weather patterns. There's no need to consider ministry patterns. There's no need to consider life patterns. There's no need to consider patterns in other people's lives as to how they raised their children, as to what they allowed them to do and what they didn't to do. If you allow your child to do something and you know by God that you know what, this is something that the Lord is showing me and the Lord has given me wisdom and I know that this thing that I'm allowing my son or my daughter to do, I'm allowing them to do it and God is fine with it because he's the one that lives in the inside of me. I don't have to check with somebody else to see if they ever did that, right? I don't parent my children, Christ in me, parenting my children based on what he's seen others do, right? But that, and obviously that's also not another reason to just say, you know what? Well, with that attitude, what that means is that I can just do whatever the heck I want. It's nobody else's business, even though that's true. It is nobody else's business. But the truth of the matter is that it's just these patterns that we look for, right? You want to read Dr. Spock's books because he's going to lay out a pattern of parenting for you. And then we try to follow a what? A pattern. Not the glory in us. We try to follow a pattern. Not the glory in us. We're trying to follow a pattern, right? How do people succeed? Well, they go to elementary school, then they go to junior high, and then they go to high school, and then they go to college, and then they become professionals, and they do this, and then they get a house, and then patterns of life, right? How about if God never even wants you to buy a house? Well, Lord, I want to have a house, but how about he doesn't even want you to ever buy a house? Why are we following patterns? Why do we think that our life is patterned after your parents? Our life is patterned after this one. And then sometimes we want a pattern, right? Other people's lives. Not only are we trying to follow a pattern in our own life, but then we're trying to pattern somebody else's. Well, why do I have to do that? Well, that's how I did it. That's how it worked for me. So we take our patterns and we impose our patterns, right? Or it didn't work for me, but I see that it worked in somebody else's, right? So then I'm going to grab Michael and Lindsay and I'm going to tell them, you know what? You have to follow this pattern. Why? Because I didn't do it, but somebody else did it and it worked for them. So you have to follow that pattern. But see, we don't need to follow a pattern. It's not about a pattern. It's about knowing and having the conviction in God to be able to say, you know what, Lord? It's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. And you are the one that's speaking and living on the inside of me. Therefore, Lord, live and not allow our lives to be dictated by a pattern. You know, in very small ways, it's funny. Our services have not changed so drastically, right? You wouldn't see that the pattern of services have changed so drastically. But you know all that he wanted to do? Let go of the pattern. Let it go. Just let go. He wasn't saying that he's going to change everything and put it upside down. It's just let go of the pattern. That was the problem. The problem was I was holding to a pattern that said, you know what? Service goes like this, and like this, right? And the Lord just said, you know what? He was just teaching me and showing me and said, you know what? You don't follow a pattern. You don't have to follow a pattern, right? It's interesting. The Lord says something to you and you think, oh, Lord, like, what? How are services going to go now? Do we just like swing from the chandeliers or do we do church backwards? You know, do the people get on the stage and then I sit in the seat? I mean, like, how do services go? Like, are people going to laugh or cry or do we always have to be prophesying or do we not prophesy? Or are we always speaking in tongues or we do not speak in tongues? Right? It's a pattern, right? We get stuck, not in that, in so many things in our lives. We want to follow patterns. What did my dad, as well-meaning as he was with what he knew, what was he trying to do? Pattern my life. What was his pattern for my life? You're going to join the military when you're 17 years old. He was telling me that since I was 10, right? So what happened? Okay, so basically it was almost an obligation. That's what I'm going to do. What happened? It lasted 18 months and I was kicked out, right? And what God was doing in my life had nothing to do with the military, right? But why didn't that? I didn't know. Why? Because I'm not listening to God. I'm just listening to my dad, right? So it's patterns, right? Imposed patterns, right? And it's not about a pattern, it's about the glory on the inside of us, right? The glory on the inside of us. The glory on the inside of us. It's according to the riches of his glory. According to the riches of his glory. So people hear that sometimes, and I said this in my heart years ago, thinking about, Lord, like, how does that happen? Like, you're going to meet my needs, like money, monetary, financial needs, right? You're going to meet my needs according to your riches and glory. What are you going to do? You're going to shoot money out of my mouth? Right? So you're in me, right? How are you going to meet my needs according to your riches and glory that are in Christ on the inside of me? How are you going to give me money? Right? Right? Where does it come from? Right? But here's the truth of the matter is that God, the power of God on the inside of us, he empowers us to everything because it's his living, right? He empowers us to everything. The Lord empowers us to wealth. The Lord empowers us, right, to increase, right? Let's go back real quick to Matthew 6:28. And what he says there is, says, consider the lilies. Now be careful, right? Because he's not asking you to look at a flower. He said consider the lilies, but he's not asking you to look at a flower. What he's asking you is, consider the lilies, how they grow. How they grow. So here's the thing that you know. When you look at another individual, when you look at another Christian, and you see them, right, with faith in God, hearing the Lord, right? Here's one thing that's already answered for you. Lord, how are they prospering in you? How is it, Lord, that they're growing in you? And you know what's already answered for you? Hearing him. And I will cement that again for you tonight with something else that I think is a good thing, right, while we're closing here in a little bit. But when we hear the Lord, you know, teaching us things, right, that's how the things that the Lord is speaking into your life, that's how increase or growth, which really here is talking about increase, that's how increase comes. So he says, consider the lilies, how do they increase? And the word there for increase actually is, how are they fruitful? How are they fruitful, right? Because we know, you know, when you think of Solomon, you think of wealth and knowledge, right? You think of wealth and wisdom when you think of Solomon. Wealth and wisdom. He had much wealth and he had much wisdom. But here's the thing that you know. Everything that he had was given to him by the Lord. Right? And the Lord writes, he showed us that in scripture, right? That there is nothing that any of us have. It's all the same spirit. There's nothing that any of us have, right? If it was given to us by the Spirit of God, right? If it's godly things that are seen in our lives, in one another's lives, you know what you already know answered for you? You can look at someone's life and say, you know what, I like, there's nothing wrong with that. Looking at someone's life and saying, you know what, I like what I see. I like what I'm seeing. That's good. That's good. But careful what you consider. You don't look at someone else's life and consider the individual. You look at somebody's life and you consider, how did they increase? In whatever. You could be looking at someone's life and say, how did they increase in wealth? You can look at somebody's life and say, how did they increase in wisdom? You can look at somebody's life and say, how did they increase in the gifts of the Spirit? You can look at somebody's life and say, how did they increase in this or that or the other thing? And you can come out with a variety of answers. You can look at Donald Trump and say, well, how did he increase in wealth? Where it wasn't the Spirit of God that gave him that wealth, right? He worked for it. He did. He negotiated. He did whatever he did. And he became very wealthy, right? So you can look at that. You can look at that, but always remember that for us, though, it's vastly different. The only thing that the Lord is asking you to consider is him. So when you look at someone's life and you like what you see, if you're like me, right, which I'm sure in many ways we are the same, right, in our thinking patterns up to now, that when I look at someone's life, I rejoice when I find out that the reason why they are the way they are is because, you know, either I find out they're a Christian, I'm like, man, I knew it. You know, you see somebody and you like what you see, you like what you're hearing, how you're hearing them talk, and then you find out they love the Lord. You're like, yeah. You know why you like that? Because you know they are the way they are because of the Spirit in them. That's what you like. You like that it's according to him. Because if you saw wealth, right, and you're like, you know, they're such a nice person, and you find out, you know what, you come up to that person just in talking. And you say, you know what, you're such a nice person. And they say, you know, thank you very much. You know, I try very much, very hard to be nice to people, you know, because I believe in that karma stuff, you know. So, you know, what goes around comes around, and you got to be nice to people. You know, and there's people that I don't really like to be nice to, but I'm just going to be nice to them anyway, you know, just because I don't want that bad karma coming around. So you know what that happens? You're, okay, you're a little disappointed. You wish you wouldn't have even said anything to them about how nice they are, right? Because you don't even want to encourage that, right? But what we like it when it's according to. And you know what? That's the right way to think. That's the right way to think. When you look, he said, consider the lilies of the field. How do they increase? And then he says this. And then he says, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. The word there is increase. They toil not, neither do they spin. And you're like, okay, Lord, I see what you're showing me. So you're saying, consider how beautiful they are. Consider how beautiful they are. Consider how lovely they're clothed. And they did it at rest. And you're like, yeah, I like that. Why do we like that? Why do we like that? Because he's taught us that, right? He's taught us that it is at rest and listening to the Spirit of God, right? That it's only by him, right? Only by him. He is the one, right, that we put on. He is the one that we're clothed, that has clothed us. He's the one whose righteousness we possess. So when you see that, you're like, yeah, I like that. Why? Because it's according to him. It's according to him. And then he says there, how they grow, they don't toil neither spin. And yet I say unto you, not even Solomon in all what? His glory. His glory. Not even Solomon in all of his glory. Not the glory of God. His glory. There's a huge comparison there, right? The Lord is saying, everything that you do at rest and living by faith in all that I teach you in the knowledge of Christ, right? I will do that. I will perform that. And that is my glory. Not the glory of men. That's my glory. But he says, because remember, he's not telling you to look at a flower. He's getting you to look at, he's getting to you look at, how does that increase? I did that. I'm the one that dressed, right, the lilies. I am the one that did that. So what he's saying is, I'm the one that's doing it in you. And he said, and then he compares you and says, not even Solomon in all of his glory could be dressed like one of mine. Not even Solomon in all of his glory. So Solomon lived with wisdom, yes, but the glory that he had in him was his own glory, not the glory of God, right? Now we possess what? The riches of the glory of God in us. We've been glorified. He was not glorified. He was not glorified, right? He may have been righteous, but he was not glorified, right? We are glorified. We have been predestined to be conformed to the image of his son by beholding what? The same glory. The same glory as in a mirror, right? The same glory as in a mirror. So he says, and yet I say unto you that not even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed, if who does? If God so does. Because it's according to him. If God, he said, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more, it says, clothe you, O you of little faith. Faith is the knowledge of Christ, right? So what he's saying, O you of little faith, what is that? That's not an insult. What the Lord is saying, O you of little faith, what he's saying is, O you that know me so little, compare yourself to Solomon and don't know who you are. O you of little faith. He didn't say you have none. He's just saying you don't know me as much as you should, right? Because if you knew me and the glory in you, you wouldn't be looking to Solomon to see what his glory was like, right? Because my life is not patterned after Solomon. And I am not a mere man, Solomon was. I'm not a mere man, Solomon was. The people of this world are just mere human beings. We are not. There's a huge marked difference. I don't need to follow. My pattern for success in my life does not follow the pattern of this world. So don't be afraid of it. And I know that initially it brings fear, right? If God begins to show you something that is totally contrary or way off the pattern of the world, it scares you for a second, right? Because you're like, well, how's that going to work? I mean, nobody's ever done this before. I mean, my God, right? But no care, right? Take no thought. Take no thought saying, right? Take no thought. Take no care, right? He says, if I so clothe the grass of the field, If I did that, right, it's according to me, not according to the world. The world has nothing to do in how God clothes the lilies of the field. It has nothing to do with that. The world can do nothing for that, right? The Lord just does that. But he says, though, but how much more you? It's good. It's so good. It's so good to know. It's so good to know the things. For the Lord to tell me, you know, that there's something, my God, on the inside of you that it does. To say, Lord, you know, I'm getting to that place, Lord. You can tell me anything. Anything. You can tell me anything. Especially when you know, right? The devil can't speak something into my mind. So be careful with what you hear, right? Everything that you hear, you take care to know, is that the Spirit of God or is it not? I mean, interesting, right? Years ago, I knew the Lord had called Michael to preach, right? What's the normal thing you do? Well, you got to go to Bible school, right? Well, he didn't, right? He did a year or something that he doesn't even remember what he did, right? But, right, so how did he become a preacher, right? The Lord did that, right? He actually would have been worse off going to Bible school. Worse. He wouldn't have been better for it. He would have been worse for it because he'd have to unlearn everything he learned, right? Because why? Because we say it's a pattern. It's a pattern. My God, if we can know now, right? Forget about what's happened. Just the freeing knowledge of knowing now, Lord, any pattern you want, anything you want to do in my life, anything you want to do, when you want to do it, how you want to do it. That's so awesome to be in that place. Can you imagine that? Could you see that? Could you see that? To be at that place in your life to say, you know what, Lord? I'm not even scared. I'm not afraid. Right? It doesn't matter. Like, right? Because you look at the failures or the success of other people, and then you wonder if you can do it like they did it. But when you don't care about that anymore, you don't care about a pattern, you don't care how it's been done, right? I mean, people say this, well, you can't borrow money. Why? Well, because other people, you know, they say it's not good to borrow money. If the Lord tells you to take out a loan, you should take out a loan. Well, God doesn't like debt, right? If the Lord tells you to take out a loan, you take out a loan. You know what I'm saying? The action, we can't put God in a biblical box to say, Lord, this is how you do it. He tells you how to do it. And whatever he tells you to do, right, he shows you how to do it. Let him do it. You don't have to walk with fear. If the Lord tells you, you know what, you're gonna be sent to England. That's where you're going. Well, good. Send me, though. Take me, right? You're going to provide the money. Everything is going to be according to you. Everything goes according to you. The finances, the desire, everything. Everything goes according to you. So there's no pressure on me, and there's definitely no pressure on him, right? There's no pressure on God, right? So you don't have to feel bad about that. So it's all good all around, right? Lord, it's according to you. According to what? According, Lord, to your riches. Right? It's limited to what? To the glory of God. Well, how limited is the glory of God? How limited is the glory of God? Who is he? Who is he, and what can he do? Whatever, Lord, you want to do in my life, you can do. Thank you, Jesus. Man, that's so good. That's a good thing, man, to not have those stupid thoughts in your head. Yeah. Mark chapter 4, can we do something? Mark chapter 4, verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns choked up, grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground. That's us, right? Watch. And did yield fruit and that sprang up and increased. That word there is the same word that he was talking about the lilies about, right? Consider the lilies and how they increase. It's the exact same word. It's translated in English two different ways, but it's the exact same. It's the exact same Greek word. In other words, it sprang up and it grew. Good ground yielded fruit, sprang up and it grew. Right? So what do? So because here's this thing. We've talked about it for years, right? But sometimes it's a little bit sticky in our minds a little bit. Like, don't look at fruit, but fruit is good. But don't look at the fruit, but fruit is good. Well, it's good, Lord. That's why I'm looking at it, right? Because doesn't it get a little messy in your mind sometimes? Like, well, it's good, but you want fruit, but you don't want to look at it. So it's good, you know, it's good, but it's there somewhere, right? But how cool is it when you can consider the fruit? That's fine. Go ahead and consider the fruit. But consider, how did it increase? How did it grow? And you know where your eyes will end up? On Jesus again. Go ahead and look at fruit. Awesome. Look at the awesome things that God has done through somebody else. Look at the awesome thing that God did in your life. Look at it and then consider, how did it happen? And you'll see that it came. Watch. How did it happen? Sprung up in an increase. What? Good ground. It brought forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100. What is it really talking about there? That growth and increase, that fruit, how did it happen? Hearing, right? The seed that fell on good ground, right? The seed that we received, the incorruptible word of God is taught, that word is taught to us, planted in the good seed of our heart, right? And it grows. So here's what I'll tell you. Consider the fruit, but don't just consider the fruit. Consider the fruit and how it became fruit. Because fruit is beautiful, right? The things that God does are beautiful, and they are terrible, right? They're awesome, the things that God does, right? So it's not about, Lord, I'm not going to look at it. It's that, Lord, I want to know, was that according to you? Was that according to? And if it was according to you, then, Lord, what I'm rejoicing in is not in what you did. I'm rejoicing in what the Lord was teaching a while ago, right? Rejoice not that the demons are subject unto you, but rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's book of life, because that's why they're subject to you. That's why they're subject to you. Not because it's you, but because... So you can look and say, wow, Look at that. Demons are subject unto the name of Jesus, right? You speak and a demon would obey, right? And then you say, Lord, why does that happen? Because of you in me. So now your eyes are on Jesus where they need to be, right? So it's an awesome thing. So now you can look at fruit anywhere. You can look at lilies anywhere. And you can say, Lord, you can look at the birds of the air. The Lord says, consider the sparrows, right? Look at the birds of the air, right? But the Lord is not saying that that's how you learn him. The Lord is saying, just consider, right? How are they provided for? Are you not more of value to me, right, than 10,000 sparrows? Are you not more valuable to me? So it's cool. You can look at something that is fruitful. You can look at something that's growing. You can look at something that you like. And you ask yourself, Lord, how did that happen? And now what that will avoid in your life is you're acknowledging him, which is the one we should always acknowledge, right? You're not in this battle over not looking or looking, not looking or looking, but you're just always considering the same thing, just considering him. Considering Jesus, the author, the finisher of your faith, considering just him. Looking to him only. Looking to him only. And everything that is according to him, you like. Everything that's not according to him, you already don't like anyway, right? So it's really, from that perspective, we're already good. We're already good. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, my Lord. They're just, boy, my God, it just seems, my Lord. It just seems, my Father, not because of anything that I saw with my eyes, Father, but it just feels, Lord. Just a sense on the inside of my heart right now, my Lord, that it just feels, lighter, Lord. Oh, just all I mean by that, Lord, is that the knowledge of you, Lord, and what you have done, your glory on the inside of us. Thank you, Father, that the knowledge of your glory, knowing, my Father, who is on the inside of us, the recollection and the remembrance of who we are in you, knowing that you're the one on the inside of us, that we have the riches of your glory on the inside of us, your splendor, your glory, your power, your power. That the consideration of those things, Lord, what it does to our hearts, what it does to our hearts, and how it frees us, Lord, to be able to see clearly, to alleviate pressures, Lord, of times and pressures of deadlines and pressures of this and that and financial pressures and all of these things, my God, that are not of you. They're just not of you. They're just not of you, Lord. Patterns in our lives and imitating a pattern, Lord, is pressure. Hallelujah, Lord. You talk to Moses. Listen to this now. Thank you, Father. You spoke to Moses and you told him to design the tabernacle according to the pattern. According to the pattern that you had shown him. And that tabernacle had a glory. Had a glory to it. Would you show us, my Father, that the reality, the truth, excels in glory. Excels in glory. Let me show you that. 2 Corinthians, I think. Let me show you that. And this is talking about the law, obviously, in the new covenant, the old covenant, and the new. Verse number 7 up there says, but if the ministration of death written and engraved on stones was glorious, right? It had glory, right? Just like Solomon had glory, right? And we have the glory of God. Here it says, in the same way, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? In other words, be much more glorious than what? Than the law, right? So the Lord showed Moses, he says, do this after the pattern. Why? Because he didn't have the truth of it, right? He didn't have the reality, right? He was not, right, part of the church that would be that tabernacle of God, right? The house of God. So he was told to follow a what? A pattern. So he constructed something according to a pattern. But the Lord tells us, right, that Christ is greater than Moses, right? Why? Because the one that built the house, right, is greater. Is in other words, the creator is greater than the one who lives after the patterning things, right, that the Lord had shown him. So the old covenant in almost all of its ways, right, what I really want to say in all its ways, right, but in almost all of its ways, because I'm not remembering now the entirety of the old covenant, right? But it's all patterns, right? And we call them shadows, right? But it's just all a pattern, all a pattern. But what happened? The people got caught up in the pattern, so that when Jesus Christ himself showed up, they were still stuck in the pattern, right? And could not see the reality because of the pattern. So the Lord said that the traditions of men was just as a fancy way of saying the patterns of men. Traditions are things, are patterns that are followed over and over and over again. Well, my daddy did this, and my daddy's daddy did that, and my daddy's daddy did this, so that's why you're going to do it. Why? Because it's the pattern. This is what our family has always done, right? Patterns, right? So it's not about a pattern, because the pattern stopped with Jesus, right? The pattern stopped with Jesus. He is the creator. He is the one now that lives. So there's no need for patterns anymore. There's no need for shadows. There's no need for that glory of the pattern or of the shadow anymore, right? Now we don't live according to a pattern. Now we don't live according to a shadow. Now we live according to Jesus, right? We live according to the Spirit, who's, and that glory of the Spirit of God on the inside of in us, the ministration or the ministry of the Spirit on the inside of us is more glorious than anything. So anything that the Spirit of God does always excels in glory to anything that you could ever see. So you know how awesome it is to allow the glory of God on the inside of you to excel in your life, and that God can become glorious in us, right? That he can be glorious. To be glorious, he has to be seen. Splendor has to be seen. Glory needs to be seen to be glory, right? We have that glory, but it's not glory that's seen until it's seen, until it's fruitful, right? So it is the will of God, right, for us to glorify the Father. It's his will for us to glorify him, right? Right. The Lord, he said that the Lord desires for you to bear much fruit, for in this is my Father glorified. So you say, you know, so you're like, well, that feels a little pressured, right? You're telling me, Jesus, that I have to bear fruit because that's how my Father's glorified. But he's not telling you to consider the fruit for itself. He's saying, it's my desire that you be fruitful. But how are you fruitful? And you say, oh, it's by hearing. That's how I'm fruitful. You're fruitful in me. It's the fruit of the Spirit. So now that whole little verse there has no pressure with it, doesn't carry any pressure with it, right? That you would be fruitful, for in this my Father is glorified. And you say, yes, Lord, amen, right? Right? It is through fruitfulness of my life that the Father is glorified. But since you're the one that bears the fruit, I guess that's not my doing anyway. So all I have to do is just keep hearing you. That's all. And you are the one that will bear fruit in my life. So it eliminates, it takes that pressure away, right? So fruit is good. Fruit is good, right? Fruit is good, but it's just not our doing. It's according to him, so we just hear, right? So it's good. It's good just to see that right there, and we're going to end there, but to see that the glory, because, you know, when I looked at it, I remember saying before, like several minutes ago, however long ago that was, you know, I was thinking in my head, you know, Lord, you don't do anything according to patterns. But he did ask men to do things according to a pattern, right? He asked men. In other words, men built the tabernacle, right? And God gave men, you know, skill, and men maybe that, you know, I would think that the men, I mean, the Bible specifically says that he gave men skill to do things, right? So I don't even know if they had it before. But just look at that even, right? Even in that time where God was asking men to follow a pattern, God gave men skill to do something that they didn't even have before, right? Now, we think that the only way to actually have a skill is to learn a skill from somewhere, right? But God gave these men skill, and they did it. So I don't know how you just start, you know, with a chisel, and you start chiseling at something and start doing a work of art, right, when you didn't even know how to do it 5 minutes ago. But can God do that? Of course he can do that in you, right? He is glorious in us, right? He's glorious on the inside of us. You know, can I just, it's a little side note before we go here. That's where the Lord really receives most glory. When he does something in you that is just straight out impossible, right? Everyone spoke against it. That's not possible. That can't be done. And then it just becomes, and it's done, right? Just little things. And you see impossibilities, but it's good to know that with God, he says, you see how he just limited himself? All things are possible. All things. That right there is a scriptural basis for the fact that God can do whatever he wants. and it's all of it possible.
And that concludes today's message. This message was recorded at Harvest Church, located at 2631 Route 52, Liberty, New York. Harvest Church meets every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and every Wednesday and Friday at 7 p.m. For more information and free downloads of all of our messages, visit us at harvestinus.com. Thank you for listening.